From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. Everything's different now. I bet you've used that phrase a few times in the past months. There's hardly a sector of life that hasn't been impacted by the coronavirus and George Floyd's death and what's happened since. But we haven't yet moved into the intensity of the 2020 wildfire year, and that's going to be another enormous challenge to navigate. For example, how do you socially distance in the midst of a natural disaster? The director of California's Wildfire Fighting Agency, CAL FIRE, is Chief Tom Porter, and he's joining us by phone. Hi, Chief Porter. It has been many, many months since we've spoken, so I guess that says something about the time and the seasons, right?
It does. Thank you for having me, Beth. It's good to be back on your show. And things really have changed in many ways since last we had a chance to talk, and COVID is one of those.
So socially distancing during a wildfire is one issue, but it's a big one. How's the agency looking at COVID-19 right now and all the levels of changes that are going to have to be made?
And this is a question we've been working through for the last several months. Really, since February, we knew that we were going to have some challenges, and March, in earnest, we moved into a planning cycle that has been a nationwide effort with the activation of three area command teams across the nation to look at how wildland fire and particularly fire camps, but also mobilization to fires, is going to look in this COVID environment. California is lucky to be the only state with a state fire chief, and he's a CAL FIRE fire chief, Scott Jalbert from San Luis Obispo, who is an area commander and one of those team leads. And so we have a very California perspective in the wildfire response plan that is for our area, and it really covers a lot of the nuts and bolts that we need to be looking at, which you've identified, and I hope to cover a little bit more through your questions.
Yeah, I do want to know about those nuts and bolts. For example, firefighters stay at base camps. They have to be fed all together. They are transported in vehicles of all types all together. So I am interested in those specifics.
Well, thank you. And I know that you are and your listeners are. And so kind of what we're focusing on is we as fire agencies all need to look out for the health and safety of our firefighters, but we need to do that with a perspective that wildfires in particular, but all disasters, are still going to happen, and the public is who we serve and who we need to protect from those very acute incidents that are happening while there's more of a long-term COVID kind of incident that's unfolding across the nation. And so we are looking at fire crews and engine companies and those kind of modular pieces of what we use to fight fire as kind of a home unit. They really are already together. They are, by and large, monitoring each other's and their own health. And so traveling to and from fires from the CAL FIRE perspective is pretty much unchanged in this COVID landscape. We will have engines and bulldozers and aircraft all responding without hesitation, post haste, to every incident. So that's that piece. And with that, my direction has been to double down on the initial attack success rate, really looking at hitting every single fire we get as quickly as possible to keep it as small as possible, so we don't have then that next piece of developing fires that require a large base camp or thousands of firefighters to congregate in order to put the fires out, or the larger fire out.
Well, let's talk about California's wildfire season then overall so far. Your website lists 2,338 incidents. At this time last year, I believe the number was 1,340. So the number of incidents is significantly ahead, though I don't see any incidents so far that's been over 5,000 acres.
That is true. And so we have more fires happening this year. And thus far we've been able to keep them smaller. That will be a challenge as the rest of the season wears on. But for now, that's a good indicator that our initial attack success is going quite well. And I think another part of this is last year was a very wet year, and this year we kind of had enough rain to get the grass crop up, but particularly in the north part of the state, it's been a dry year. And so we are turning the corner. Fires are starting to get bigger. And while initial attack success is our number one priority when it comes to responding to fires, we know that 5% or less of the time, there are going to be fires that grow bigger than 10 acres. 95% of the time, we put fires out before they get to 10 acres. And so those 5%, some of them we're seeing. The olive fire that we had in Solano County just last week, it grew and quickly in grass and oak woodland. And at this time of year, what we see is generally by nightfall, fires start to calm down unless there's a strong wind on them. And that's what we're seeing this time of year. In about 2 weeks to a month, we're going to start to see the chaparral species really dry out statewide. That will put the next component of the fuel models into play. And we'll start having, what traditionally we've called brush fires, but chaparral fires, and then that will move into the timber as well, potentially.
Let me talk about safety with regard to residents, people who have to be evacuated somewhere. And I know at the Quail Fire recently, there was a COVID-19 testing site set up. I believe that was done by the county. But tell me about that interface between Cal Fire and the county with respect to moving people and perhaps having to gather them at evacuation sites.
Great question. And again, that comes back to the public safety being paramount. And when we have to pull evacuation orders in conjunction with local law enforcement or the sheriff, we do that very quickly in order to get people out of harm's way. And I think the Quail Fire did give us a starting point for how this is going to look. We have been planning with Cal OES and our local government and law enforcement partners to figure out, including Red Cross, to figure out how best to protect those people that have that acute need to leave an area from being exposed to COVID-19 in a sheltering environment or a evacuation center. And so we do have plans that we're working through. We are identifying areas throughout the state that we can, at the same time that we will have to set up large fire camps, which we know we will. I'm trying to minimize that, but I know we're going to be in large fire camps at some point. A lot of times those are either co-located on fairgrounds with evacuation centers, or they take up space that will be needed for evacuation centers in order to provide for physical distancing and proper health monitoring. And so these are all things that we got a tiny taste of from the Quail Fire, but we are planning on a larger scale for when we have the bigger incidents.
So when you look at how best to protect people in an evacuation situation, will it always include, does the protocol call for COVID-19 testing?
What happened, and I'll come back to the Quail Fire, what happened was not testing as much as screening. What we're anticipating is temperature, non-invasive, so no touch temperature monitoring, and asking the questions of whether an individual has any symptoms or has been in contact with people with symptoms. And so that's about the extent of what an assessment will look like. It's the same thing we're doing in several of our emergency centers and at Cal OES to ensure that the individuals that are coming and going on a daily basis in those locations are monitoring their health at least daily, and in some cases, in some of our facilities, twice daily, in order to, as soon as symptoms show up, we have the opportunity to make sure that that individual does get tested, and then others around them can be monitored to see if any symptoms show up. And so I don't see us moving to a mandatory testing of those in evacuation centers. That is not the intent.
Thank you for clarifying that. We weren't quite sure what the situation had been, and I know this is kind of evolving modifications for everybody right now. It's also new. I do want to know whether there have been or are active cases of COVID-19 right now among the CAL FIRE staff and employees and the firefighters. Are you dealing with those cases yet?
Interestingly, and this is different from department to department. So there are some local departments that have had pretty large numbers for their size. And even including the federal government has seen some cases. Most of those are coming from the outside. They're hiring their seasonal employees, and they're starting to do training, and they've identified several, I think nine in the Forest Service. And then for us, a department of approximately 7,000 employees, we have three confirmed known cases. And of those three confirmed cases, none of them were contracted at work. All of them were quarantined, and none of their coworkers came down with the virus after we took those protective or those measures. It's also interesting, CAL FIRE responds to somewhere between 700 and 1,000 calls every day throughout the state. And a bulk of those are in our local government contracts, including COVID type responses or flu-like symptoms, but EMS calls. And so of the thousands of calls we've been making since February and March, we still only have those three cases, and only one of them is from the areas where we have most of those types of calls: Riverside County, San Diego, Lake Napa, and Butte are some of our bigger Schedule A contracts, or those municipal type contracts where we do that service. And so PPE works, masks work, gloves, eye shields, they work. So our responders that are going out and working with people that are ill with COVID or other illnesses really limit their exposure by wearing that PPE. And I can't impress upon the public and my employees enough, which I've been doing very regularly, how important that mask is to really protect not only yourself but others from your inadvertently shedding and spreading.
A quick follow-up question, Chief. In those three cases, have those employees returned to work, or are they still in quarantine?
They are all back to work, and I think the third one might be finishing up the quarantine period as we speak.
And they are all firefighters?
Those are, yes.
Okay. I'm talking with CAL FIRE's director, Chief Tom Porter. We're talking about the interface between wildfire fighting and COVID-19. As part of all of this, Chief Porter, Governor Newsom has called for the deferring or the giving up of a negotiated raise for CAL FIRE firefighters and asked them also to take an additional 10% pay cut. There is some opposition to this. Can you confirm where those discussions are and where you are on this ask by the governor?
Those discussions are going on between CalHR and each of the unions of the state, including Local 2881, CAL FIRE firefighters. And I have not been a part of those conversations. I support the governor's proposal and budget without saying. And I know that we're going to be in very difficult financial times. And preserving jobs in order with pay cuts is an important thing to do if that's what needs to be done.
The budget, though, does include new equipment that had already been ordered and was already arriving. This includes the dozen or so Black Hawk helicopters. So is that equipment still arriving so that it can be used for this firefight season? And to what degree is it going to change the game?
Through various things that have happened in that helicopter supply chain, we actually have increased shortened the schedule for getting those helicopters into California. But it also needs to be clear that we're only going to have at most two of them available for firefighting during this peak season. As we get into the fall, we have two. One is currently in Colorado getting some repairs done. The other one is here finishing up its training cycle and acceptance cycle. And will be here in the north part of the state. Those two will be probably the only ones we see fighting fire this summer. The rest will start being delivered through late summer into fall and then into next spring, and will continue later into next year. And that actually is a little bit ahead of the schedule, the delivery schedule that we expected for the 12 helicopters that we will ultimately receive.
One more point I want to make. We heard from the Amador El Dorado unit of CAL FIRE, which is suspending burn permits in Alpine County, also Amador, El Dorado, and Sacramento counties. And in this announcement from Camino was the sentence, 2020 started out with the driest February since the 1950s in California. If that's true, what's your expectation of this wildfire time ahead of us?
Yeah, that February was scary for us. Really, we were seeing more fires in February than we have seen in a very long time. And it was partly because of early rains and some of those grasses started to cure. What we see now is, while we did get some mid-spring rains, that helped for a little while, but it didn't do anything really for the snowpack in any great way. And we are expecting moderate drought conditions to persist throughout the northern part of the state in particular, which actually makes it difficult to fight fire in the timber areas because there's so much of that large woody material is available for burning really early in a fire. Often it takes some time and some heat to be able to get that kind of material going. During drought conditions, that happens very quickly. And that is a big concern for us. And a lot of the areas that are going to be more active this year than they were last year are in the higher elevations, including the national forests, that really didn't have a lot of big fires last year. Mm. This year, that's going to change, and that's why an aggressive initial attack is so important.
All right. Thank you, Chief. I always appreciate our time, and I think it's never too early to start talking about what's ahead. So I look forward to ongoing communication, although who knows with the wildfire season what the year will hold.
Thank you, Beth. Always good to talk to you.
All right. That is the director of CAL FIRE, Chief Tom Porter. And we'll post a link to CAL FIRE's webpage. That's at capradio.org/insight. Up next, artists are giving a temporary lift to some downtown Sacramento storefronts. Have you seen some of this work? The recovery is beginning. We'll talk about it more after a short break. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio.